This message was recorded during the coronavirus lockdown in 2020. Thank you for listening to this Audacious Church podcast.
We are right in the middle of our Unshakable series, and this is where we are focusing and celebrating on the unshakable nature and word of God. We've already done Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there, the Lord my banner, and Pastor Mark did the Lord my peace last week, and we're going to be continuing on. But this is really important because we are in uncertain times, and this is so relevant for now, that everything that can be shaken has been shaken or is being shaken. And so this is great news that as people who put their trust in Jesus, that we can be unshakable even when things are being shaken. The Bible says in Matthew 7, talking about a wise builder and an unwise builder, Jesus said that the unwise builder who built his house on the sand, something that can shift and change, when the storms came, the house couldn't stand, but the wise builder who built his house on the rock was unshaken. And so this is what we're believing for your life, for my life, for our life as a church, and for those who are joining us wherever you may be, that when we put our trust in Jesus, that our lives can be unshakable. So without further ado, we're going to go into the Word of God, and we're going to be taking our scripture from 2 Kings chapter 6. And let me read it for you. It says here, "One time when the king of Aram was at war with Israel, after consulting with his officers, he said, 'At such and such a place, I want an ambush set.' The holy man sent a message to the king of Israel, 'Watch out when you're passing this place, because Aram has set an ambush there.' So the king of Israel sent word concerning the place of which the holy man had warned him, and this kind of thing was happening all the time." Verse 11, it says, "The king of Aram was furious over all this. He called his officers together and said, 'Tell me, who is leaking information to the king of Israel? Who is the spy in our ranks?' But one of his men said, 'No, my master, dear king, it's not any of us. It's Elisha, the prophet in Israel. He tells the king of Israel everything you say, even what you whisper in your bedroom.' The king said, 'Go and find out where he is. I will send someone to capture him.' The report came back: 'He is in Dothan.' Then he dispatched horses and chariots, an impressive fighting force. They came by night and surrounded the city. Early in the morning, a servant of the holy man got up and went out." Surprise! "Horses and chariots surrounding the city. The young man exclaimed, 'Oh, master, what shall we do?'" And Father, we just take this moment just to open our hearts to your word. Come and do what only you can do. Come and speak to every single person in their context and in their situation. In your precious name, amen. They're in a pickle. These guys are in a pickle. So in the Old Testament, we would have the prophet who was God's mouthpiece to his people. And here we've got the prophet Elisha, and he is thwarting the plans of the king of Aram, wanting to invade, wanting to beat, you know, the forces of Israel. And he's basically telling the king of Israel all of the king of Aram's tactics, telling him where he's going to be, telling him what his plans are. And the king of Aram is so annoyed that he thinks there's got to be a mole in my organization. There's got to be something wrong. Somebody is leaking information. But we find out that no, it's the prophet Elisha. And so the king of Aram sends what the Bible says, a mighty force to surround the city. Have you ever felt surrounded. Now, Glyn and I love going every now and then to Chatsworth House, which is one of the stately homes here in England. And it's not far from here in Manchester, in Derbyshire. And one of the things that they've got in their beautiful gardens is they've got one of those hedge mazes. And I remember the first time we went into the hedge maze and we were trying to find our way into the centre of the hedge, that, you know, you get to a point where you're starting to panic, because everywhere you look, you're surrounded by hedges. There doesn't seem to be a way out. You start to get, you know, slightly concerned that somehow you're going to live the rest of your life in this hedge maze. But it's that feeling of not knowing the way out, or feeling like you're penned in. Have you ever felt surrounded? Sometimes when we're watching together, Glyn and I, we like to watch an old-fashioned Western. And this reminds me of that, you know, when all the gunslingers are being surrounded by the marshals or the deputies. And they always shout this one thing. They always say, come out with your hands up, you are surrounded. There's that sense of being outnumbered. You are outnumbered. There is no way out. You have no hope. You have no, there's no escape. You need to be our prisoner. You've got no choice in the matter. That sense of being hemmed in, not knowing what to do, not knowing the way out. And this is where Elisha and his servant are. Now, you might never be in a gunfight, and you may never find yourself in one of those hedge mazes, but everybody knows what it's like to feel surrounded by circumstance. And especially in this global pandemic, it feels like uncertainty has surrounded us. That everywhere we look in our lives, we can't do life the way that we're used to, because there are restrictions, because there are rules, because there are, you know, distances, there's protocol. It's affected everything about our lives. So it's easy to feel hemmed in, easy to feel like, you know, what is going to happen? And maybe it's been broken relationships. Maybe your marriage has been in the firing line and you felt surrounded. Maybe somebody who you love dearly has betrayed you. Somebody who promised that they would be there has betrayed you. And that circumstance has made you feel like there is no way out, and it's robbing you of your hope, robbing you of your courage, robbing you of your choices. It feels like you need to be a prisoner of this circumstance. And it can be financial difficulty. It can be just the what ifs of the future. And it can all make you feel like you are Elisha and the servant, surrounded, no way out, no choices, no hope. Well, what does the Lord say about this? It says a little bit later on, the servant says to Elisha, "Oh, master, what are we going to do?" And this is what Elisha says to him in verse 16. He says, "Don't worry about it. There's more on our side than on their side. There is more on our side than on their side." And I love this moment, because I try to put myself in the position of the servant, because he's looking at this vast army that has surrounded the city, that has blocked up all ways of escape. They're outnumbered. This is an army against one person, because they're after Elisha the prophet. And I can imagine the servant looking at Elisha going, you know, "With all due respect, I don't think you fully grasped the situation here." And the reason he is doing that is because he's looking with his physical eyes. He's looking with his eyes that can see what is directly in front of him. And perhaps he's even looking with his eyes of experience that tells him, everything that he's learned in his life has told him that this is not a good situation, that there is no way out. But this is not what Elisha is talking about when he says there is more with us than there is against us. He's talking about another set of eyes. And he says to the servant, don't worry about it. There is more with us than there is against us. And then he prays. He prays, oh God, open his eyes. And I believe that whenever we're feeling surrounded by challenges and circumstance, anything that makes us feel like there is no hope, anything that makes us feel like there's no way out, makes us feel defenseless, vulnerable, makes us feel like, you know, that we have no way of standing up for ourselves, that we're a prisoner of this circumstance. There's always a moment, perhaps, when we come into an atmosphere of faith, like we're coming into church, or maybe you're talking to somebody who's got a faith perspective, and there's always that fight that says, with all due respect, I don't think you understand my circumstance. With all due respect, I don't think you know what it's like to be me. And it's nice that you're coming with all your nice words saying, you know, there's more with me than there is against me. But with all due respect, I don't think you fully understand where I am at. But Elisha, he doesn't reason with his servant. He doesn't say, look, mate, you know, this is the way I understand the situation. He says, Lord, open his eyes. And this is what happens then. It says the eyes of the young man were opened and he saw. He saw a wonder, the whole mountainside full of horses and chariots of fire surrounding Elisha. When the Arameans attacked, Elisha prayed to God, strike those people blind. And God struck them blind just as Elisha had said. Let's just pause there. Once Elisha prayed that his servant's eyes would be opened, his servant saw a vast army, and it was full of chariots, full of horses, and they were on fire. This is what we call in the Word of God the armies of heaven. And this is where we find our name for God that we are celebrating today. And it's this, the Lord of hosts. That our God is called the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the angel armies. And this is the truth. When we put our trust in the Lord, when we put our lives into his hands, this is the truth that the Lord of hosts is with us. The Psalms are full of the Lord of hosts being with us. In Psalm 46, verse 7, it says these words, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. And then it says, come, behold the works of the Lord, how he brought desolation on the earth. Let's skip down to verse 10 of this psalm. It says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Psalm 24, verse 9 says, lift up your heads, O gates. Lift them up, O ancient doors, and the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And I want to declare to everybody in the sound of my voice that the Lord of hosts is with you, the Lord of the angel armies. And my prayer is that your eyes will be opened to see not with your natural eyes and not with the eyes of your experience, but with the eyes of faith, that there is more with you than there is against you. And who is the Lord of hosts? It's our Lord Jesus. Jesus is the Lord of hosts. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he is wrestling with going to the cross, And he makes a decision at that point that that's exactly what he's going to do. He's going to die for the sins of the world. The Bible says that that people come to arrest him. And so it begins, the journey to the cross. But in one of the Gospels, it says that the disciple Peter cuts off one of the ears of the people that are coming to arrest him. And Jesus says, you know, what are you doing? My paraphrase. But he's like, what are you doing? He says, don't you think that I could ask the Father to send down 12 legions of angels to protect me? But that's not what I'm here to do. And I love that about the Lord, that he could have not gone to the cross. He could have called down all those angels because he is the Lord of hosts. But he rather decided to fight the battle for you and I, the battle for sin, on the cross. The Lord of hosts speaks of supremacy. The Lord of hosts speaks of victory. Some versions of the Bible even translate it as the battle is the Lord's. But it's the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the angel armies surrounding you. My encouragement for us today is that we open our eyes, that we position ourselves to see that there is more with us when Jesus is on our side than there is against us. Even though the army seems vast, even though the enemy's army feels like it's surrounding the whole city and it's given us no way of escape, I want you to see these words because this is what struck me about this account. It says here, it says that the enemy's army surrounded the city, but when the servant of the man of God, his eyes were opened, this is what he saw. He looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. All around Elisha. So the heavenly armies weren't around the city. They weren't around the enemy's forces. They weren't around the circumstances. They were around Elisha. And this is our position as sons and daughters of God, as those who have put their trust in the Lord, that the angel armies don't just surround your circumstances, but they surround you wherever you are. Wherever you go, you have his protection. You have his resource. You have his peace. You have him with you. He's not just with us, but he is in us. He is all around us. You are surrounded, not just by circumstance, but by the Lord himself. That's yours. That's your position. But there is a caveat. It says in Psalm 91, verse 9, if you say that the Lord is my refuge and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra, and you will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. There is a position that we must take, and that is to acknowledge his name, to put our life in his hands. And it's only when we do that that our eyes are open to see that we are surrounded by the Lord, surrounded by the angel army, surrounded by his goodness, surrounded by his faithfulness, surrounded by his strength, and that he will lead us through. He will make a way where there is no way. Can I encourage us today, church, put your trust in the Lord afresh. But I also want you to have courage and confidence that he is not just with you, but he's with you wherever you go. Not just in this circumstance, whatever you're facing, but every day, in every moment. It's like you walk forward, he's there. you walk to the side, he's there. You walk back, he's there. Wherever you go, you are surrounded. And I want to pray another psalm over you. I want you right now to close your eyes. Right now, acknowledge him. Right now, say, Lord, I'm putting my trust in you afresh. Right now, I want you to sense the confidence and courage that comes at knowing that there is more with you than there is against you. You are surrounded, but you're surrounded by the Lord of hosts. Just close your eyes for a moment as I pray these words over you. This is the psalmist talking to the Lord. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is like light to you. Father, for every single person, Lord, I pray that you would open their eyes. May their eyes be open to see your goodness, faithfulness, strength, everything that they need, and that as they put their trust in you, that you will lead them through. I pray for a fresh sense of confidence, fresh sense of courage to stand up to whatever they feel is surrounding them. Lord, let the knowledge that you are with them be stronger and greater than anything that is coming against them. We pray these things for your glory and for your name. Amen.
You've been listening to the Audacious Church podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com, or join one of our live stream services every Sunday.